Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome to the 30th episode of the Anti-Pattern Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
So, after quite a while,
It's been a while, yeah.
After our summer break, so to say. So Michael was in vacation, me too. So first of all, how was Norway in Sweden?
Norway was wonderful. We bypassed the very high, heat wave that we had in Germany, right? We had up on to 41 degrees centigrade in Germany, and we bypassed it. So I was basically at the polar circle for a couple of days, and we had only 17 degrees, which was very nice. How was it in Canada?
Yeah, so we have also been nearly to the polar circle. Okay. And yeah, it was a little bit colder than expected, but we were pretty good equipped, especially after I did my FMEA together with Claude on that trip.
Oh, this is something so nerdy. Okay.
Yeah, but it worked out very well.
Good.
Yeah, so we also skipped the heat wave. We took some of the FIFA World Championship
Vancouver,
right? Yeah.
What game was it? Did you know?
I don't remember. So we've seen a lot of Mexican people. We've seen, I think, from Paraguay. I think it was the quarterfinal.
Must be the quarterfinal. Those guys kicked us out of the tournament. Remember that one. Yeah, that was the 16th final,
right?
I think so.
Yeah, possible.
Okay, and you did see a bear, is what I
thought. Yeah, one bear. We saw one bear.
From the distance.
From the distance, luckily.
Yeah.
But apart from the bear, we saw a little wildlife.
Mm.
Seemed to be hard winter there. Yeah. Okay. So, coming to the present. We are talking today about our second AI research day, which used to happen last week.
Right.
And the question might be, why do we, as a little startup, invest time and money in a research day, Michael?
Yeah, true. So as you say, this was the second time we're actually doing it. So we did one November last year, and now the second one. And that this is research day. That means we invite researchers, students from all over the place, so basically from German universities and research associations, and talk about, what is it that we talk about? Industrial AI, right? So because this is the big topic, obviously, that we are working on and others are working on from, you know, many different angles. And why is it important for us? First of all, of course, getting input for our development. Right? I keep on saying we need to transfer research into actual development work, right? Mm-hmm. Make it real, right? From the theory to practice. So this is the one part. And the other thing is, of course, obviously, also strengthen our network, right? Mm-hmm. So if I look at the attendees from last time and this time, right, and bring it together, there is, I would say, 80% of the most prestigious German universities somehow in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little, you know, a couple of them are missing. But if you have been working in the space of PLM or engineering software, right, then actually most of the names that you should, you know, think about actually showed up. So this is really good for us. And the two or three, maybe four universities that we're missing, we're working on that, right? Mm-hmm. We want to invite them as well and have them join as well. And so basically the outcome of this is that we are going to write a paper together, not a research paper, right? Because this should not be solely research, right? It should be more practical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, let's make it short. We do a white paper, bring to paper what we discussed, what we think is necessary, right?
Yep.
And then move on and build, right? Build is more important than write about it.
Interestingly, we had also participants from consulting firms.
True.
Because they also seem to be a little bit ahead of the industry. And
they have to be. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, and we keep on discussing with them, right? How exactly should it, you know, turn out to be industrial AI, right? What's behind the curtain, right? And what is different for industrial AI compared to, you know, general purpose chatbots, right? So there's huge differences, but you don't see it right from the beginning. So yeah, and consulting companies, also something we need to work on, right? It was just one participant. No, that's not true what I'm saying. Two participants, consulting firms. Right, and working on them as well. Right.
So, what was the outcome? What did we learn last week?
So, multiple things. So, most importantly to me was, and it was on one of the slides, I think that, not sure, Matthias, I guess this was Matthias from RWTH Aachen University, right? He had one sentence on the slide saying context is everything. So if you think about industrial AI, it's not so much about just a plain model and how it, you know, how it works, what it's good at and all that kind of stuff, right? It's more about how do you make sure the right contextual information, right, ends up at the right place in the right time, right? Mm-hmm. How do you organize all of this, right? And I've heard the term model harness before, but after the workshop, I'm pretty sure it's more important than I think it, than I thought it was, right? So that is one part, right?
Especially when you want to write your own agent, because the question, right, which was, which we also discussed, was what is an agent? And right, in the end, it's more the harness, what people are talking about,
yeah,
when they say we have our own agent.
Yeah, right. And how do you, you know, establish the harness, and what does it mean to bring data in from external systems? So that was the second thing that we had on the list, basically MCP versus skills versus how you integrate with external tools, right? Mm-hmm. Do you build MCP servers for all of them? Or how exactly is it going to happen, right?
Yeah. And there was this somehow BS conversation some months ago on LinkedIn,
yeah,
like, oh, forget MCP, I only work with skills,
mm-hmm,
which is somehow strange, because yeah, they describe more or less this similar resources. They both describe resources. They both describe how to use and what to do on certain pieces of data. But the thing is that a skill is something you have on your own. You install it in your harness, or you write your own skills. MCP is something that somebody else on an external system provides to you and says, okay, here is my MCP. You can connect to it. You can learn how to use my tool, my knowledge, whatever.
Yeah.
So this is more or less the same thing from two directions. And so I did not understand the discussion on LinkedIn, like forget MCP, forget the one, take the same with another, from another symbol.
What you're saying is those things are not mutually exclusive, right?
Exactly.
Can do both, and it makes sense, right? And then coming to external tools, that also something that I learned, but you also discussed that in the first research day, was basically you have this ambiguity in the answers of the models, right?
Mm.
And how do you get rid of the ambiguity, how you can add constraints to, you know, the outcome. And one example was in the, you know, simulation domain, you can use simulation models, right? Other tools that provide more deterministic results, right? Mm. The AI has to live with those results. It cannot give you, you know, back then we were talking about a lot about reasoning. Reasoning is now today, a couple of months later, not the biggest problem anymore, right? Mm-hmm. If I compare what ChatGPT was doing 10 months ago to Claude now, right, that increased, you know, unbelievable how much that got better over a couple of months. Right. And third is semantics, right? And actually one thing that I keep on hearing in, you know, general public media, this biggest problem in the world for industrial AI, especially, is data quality. Mm-hmm. It's not really data quality. You know, if you really think about it, that is part of it, right? But if I hear data quality, what I hear is there were some typos in the data sets, right? The address is wrong, or the number is 4 and not 5, or whatever, right? Mm. So this is what I think about when I hear the term data quality. And that's not the biggest problem if it's just typos, right? The biggest problem is missing semantics, right?
Mm.
What is the data that you collected over decades, right? What is it actually meaning, right? And how do you add meaning to that whole architecture?
Yeah.
That is the core problem that needs to be seen.
Yeah, I think it's two sides of a medal.
Yeah.
Which both have to be coped with. And But according to semantics, this is exactly the reason why we are talking, or we have shown already in I don't know, I think it was in the February release,
yeah,
where we showed how we handled semantics.
Right.
Because especially ontologies,
yeah,
because ontologies describe semantics. And as we already tested, was that a semantically backed data model can be understood by an LLM without ambiguity.
Yeah.
It's totally clear to the LLM what are we talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And luckily we had Achim there, Achim Weitz from Neonto, one of our, I just call you partner then, Achim. We did not sign anything, but we have a very good connection with him and relationship with him. So, and he's, you know, an RDF expert, you can say, right? Ontology RDF expert, right? And this is, of course, part of the picture, maybe the most important thing, actually. Right? But there's other, you know, there's another angle, so to say, to it.
Right?
And we said, we want to add a meta model, which is not, you know, per se, RDF ready, right? From the external, you can exchange data via the RDF standard, of course, right? But internally speaking, we have our own meta model and we have inheritance in there, right? We can set up data data types on top of it, right? So this is important that everything is defined clearly so that, you know, then AI is finally able to understand what the data means.
Yeah. And we are lucky that in the meantime, RDF 1.2 was released.
Yeah.
Which we definitely need for our approach,
yeah,
without using the reification on data on relationships.
Okay.
Which is, so to say, the predecessor from RDF Star.
This is what I wanted to ask, okay? Yeah. There was this RDF Star in the meantime.
Okay. Exactly. And now we have this RDF standard, and I think now it's the right time, or let's say for the November release, I guess it would be a nice time to bring in semantics into the study.
And the funny thing is, when it comes to semantics, is people have been talking about semantics are important for decades, right? Building computer systems say semantics are important, they are important, they are important. Finally, now there is a really, really big opportunity to get the semantics straight, right? Before AI, the usage of semantics was basically semantic search. Other things, better understand, right? But as long as there were humans involved, the problem was not so big because humans are better at understanding what something means, even if they don't have the meaning described to them machine readable, right? Now with AI, it's more needed, right? So
yeah, finally, you definitely see a renaissance also in my LinkedIn bubble, at least.
Yeah.
I see from day to day multiple articles about knowledge graphs and the usage of RDF,
right,
which is funny in a way that RDF is over 20 years old, 25 years.
W3C, yeah.
Sure. Also, RDF Turtle is decades old.
Yeah.
And now we are getting the benefits of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the need is now there, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much in the past. What we also had on the list is the last thing that I had on the list. So just to summarize what we learned, Serenity in Models, right? Coincidentally, there was this release of Sophie from Framework a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So what's that about? What is Serenity in Models?
Yeah, I think the best example is the situation we had some weeks ago when Anthropic released Fable 5.
Yeah, right.
And it was taken offline from now to then.
Yeah.
Because of export regulations and uncertainties of the power of the model and so on.
Right, right.
And this was, I won't say a wake up call for the rest of the world and especially for Germany and in Europe, that we should also be able to model, to train, to model, and to execute large language models.
Right, right.
And of course, the guys from Sophie did not start 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, sure, when this Fable thing happened. The discussion is ongoing for a while, and now we seem to have a very interesting and open source model, which can compete with other European models like Mistral. At least from the numbers you can read up in the papers. We wanted to try it out by ourselves because it has a reasonable size. So it's a 30 billion model, a mixture of experts with like 3 billion active
parameters.
And this is something you can even run on your computer.
A regular.
If you have enough RAM and you are satisfied with 10 tokens a second.
Yeah.
You can run it on your own machine.
Yeah.
And yeah, there we come to a problem which we ran into when trying to download this model from RDFace. That you had to sign up for it and you have to be approved to be part of the closed beta. And this is something I cannot understand. So if you don't want to leave it out in public, just don't upload it to RDFace. So, but what we'll talk about later can be when it's about commercializing.
Yes. So, but what they say, it's open and they published a lot of training data. That's what they say.
They did not really publish the training data, but they published the whole approach, which of publicly available training data they used.
Okay.
If you're looking into this GitHub repository, there is really an instruction how to do that. So if you have enough... enough GPU power, which was around 250 GPU hour. It's 250,000 GPU hours, which is a lot. Then you could train this model by yourself in the exact same way.
Okay, I guess it's all about transparency, and you can basically check what they did and redo it, right, if you want to. Okay.
And the interesting thing will be this post-training, I guess, so... Also, these guys released 3 versions, I guess.
Okay.
The base version, the ESA version, the Rhine version. Okay. And the two of the last mentioned bring in the reasoning.
Okay. I just wanted to say the Rhine version sounds like the one we should use.
yeah.
Because the river is so close, but...
Maybe. This is the reason why we should use it. No, just kidding. But the interesting thing about Sophie is also that it is not about general knowledge at all. So its focus was on industrial AI, which fits perfectly what we discussed on our research team.
Right.
It was all about industrial AI, and this is what we talk about for 4 months now, that I don't need to know when Hannibal went over the Alps with the elephants,
right?
When I want to... develop my next generation product for whatever technical
thing. Of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and what do we do with it, with Sophie? So what is, do we connect it to our harness then?
Most likely, yes.
Yeah.
So this is definitely something we need to try out. And this is a very good example to try it out, to not only connect to OpenAI and Anthropic, especially because we plan to buy some hardware, so that we don't get only 10 tokens per second, but something more.
And
with this focus on industrial AI, this might be very interesting for us and maybe also our customers who might use it.
Yeah, okay. So, and from my perspective, this is, so to say, we see the light at the end of the tunnel, at least from a German perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Because German models, so this is the first German model, I would say. It's not really directly comparable to the others, as we said, but it's not general purpose, right? It has a certain purpose, right? And in that category, it is some accomplishment for Germany, at least, technologically speaking, right? It's not competing head-on with the big ones, but for that little niche, as usual in Germany, it's all about the niches, right? So in that little niche, it's not so bad, right? And it's good that we have that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. And then?
So, speaking of industrial AI, right, we... talked about the industrial AI reference architecture
last time and also this time. Yeah. So I did not want to include it in my highlights, to be honest. But of course we talked about it. And reference architectures are, they are not unnecessary, right? They give you an idea what components do you need did you think of everything you need to actually build it, right? What are existing interfaces to existing tools, what are that kind of stuff, right? So it's not wrong to think about architectures or reference architectures, but to a large extent, unfortunately, sometimes it's only pure theoretical academic exercise and it does not lead to any real world implementation, right? So this is why you don't like it so much, right? Oh. It's nice to illustrate what you do, right? And especially if you have multiple companies or, you know, organizations working together on something, it's also good, right, to have it, but it's not really the thing you need if you really start implementing, right? Mm-hmm. Or want to start implementing. Right. So this is why I didn't include it in my highlights, right? But it's there and we definitely will also mention it, right? Because and this is something we talked about as well. So this is the non-technical stuff we talked about, right? Is Germany needs to do something. Everybody is. I don't know any person in Germany that does not say we need not to change anything we do in terms of how we do business, how we do, you know, how we do technology, right? Because we have been, you know, a major player in the past when it came to technology. And the question is, why don't we do it now, right? Why don't we keep up with the others, right? And this is something that bugs me, right? And this is something that we have been discussing there. Because if I look into those universities, and both of us have lectures at the Duale Hochschule, the DHBW in Mannheim, right? We know students, we know what it means to be a researcher, right? So if you look at that situation in Germany, we don't have a problem of theoretical knowledge. That's not the problem. It's so much out there, right? And people know their stuff and are ready to do the homework. What's missing, and this is our job, in my view, it's our job, is the part of entrepreneurship, right? Do something with it. Don't just try to understand it, write about it, right? It's also about implementing, make it live, and get someone to pay for it, right? And if we don't do that, we will keep on having theoretical discussions about, you know, stuff that may or may not be happening in the future, right? So we need to be part of the realization of something, right? And that is really, really important. The question is, how exactly do we do this, right? We do this, of course, in our way, right? But we are just one company. And my wish would be, if I look left and right of us, right, luckily, there is a lot of startups currently founded, right? But still, it feels to me not yet enough, right? Because we have now, after COVID, right, Germany did not recover from COVID yet, right? We have not reached the same amount of, you know, prosperity that we had before after 5 or 6 years now. So this is a huge problem. And we need to do more, right? And I came up with the hashtag or with the tag hashtag rebuild Germany, right? Something, you know, sound a little bit like 1949, right? It's not what I mean. I mean the industry, of course, right? I mean technology. I mean bring to life what you guys are good at, right? We're not bad at computer science. We're not bad at, you know, industrial processes. We're really good at that stuff, right? Why don't we just do something with it?
Yeah, commercialize it.
Yeah. Commercialize it. Right.
Yeah, and not sell it afterwards, before the big hype abroad.
Yeah,
that's all what we did with photovoltaics.
For example. Yeah,
we were the major manufacturing country.
Yeah.
And then, we killed our own industry.
We killed our own
industry. But that's more a political reason.
Yeah, true. And others in the world did fill that gap, right? Mm-hmm. And with AI, it's a little bit a different story, right? So from a research perspective, in Germany, there are researchers that, you know, brought in ideas and worked on stuff that is now leading to the AI wave that we see, right? But we are not really taking part in the actual commercialization of it, right, currently. That's a huge problem, right? And this is, you know, people, I heard someone say, we need to invest more in education. I say, well, is it really education? Maybe, but it's not theoretical knowledge about computer science, not theoretical knowledge about industry processes. It is maybe knowledge about how to actually run a company, how to build something, how to lead, how to do marketing, right? Even with the marketing part, I'm not so 100% sure because, you know, there's so many people studying marketing. It's not, you know, the knowledge is all there, right? You need to apply it, right? To take the risk. Right. And this is, I usually go to lunch, or sometimes I go to lunch with friends of mine, right? And now the actually went to school with me, and I said the sentence, in Germany, we have so much risk aversion that we turn it into a rule perversion, right? Sounds nice. And that's, you know, that is how Germany works. And this is currently killing us because we need to just do it, right?
And yeah, and it's the same story with AI. AI, the potential of AI is not even 100% there, and we are discussing how to regulate it.
Yeah.
This is what we start.
Yeah.
With the regulation, not with exploration of the possibilities.
Yeah, because this is what I never understood in Europe. It's not so much just Germany, it's also Europe. How can you regulate something that does not yet exist?
Mm-hmm.
That bugs me completely, right? I understand that we need to regulate when something's there and it is, from an ethical perspective, doing something wrong or is mishaps happening. Then, of course, I understand that, right? But before having something ready to run, this is only theoretical work because you don't know how it works, but you start regulating it with assumptions that are maybe true or maybe not true.
Yeah.
And this is
in combination with the speed of development. Never keep up.
Yeah. And but we don't want to blame anybody, right?
Mm.
We could go on, you know, we can talk about this offline. So if you want to hear us blaming politics and everything, we can do that offline. But that's not the important thing. You can blame anybody in the world, but the real important thing is that we have to understand that we are in the position to do something about it, right? It's not somewhere else, some guy in Berlin or Brussels need to fix it. No, we can do a lot of that stuff ourselves.
Okay.
And that is the real important message. It's not sit around and wait, right? And the others fix the problems. Like, we can do it, right? That's the thing. And that is, in the end, the message or the motto that I want to see in our research phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about doing something with the knowledge that we gained, right?
Yeah.
And that is really important.
So what are the next steps after this research day?
So next steps, there will be definitely a third AI research day. And I have to mention one thing. This time we didn't do it all on our own. Well, we had SysDice, another partner company, another startup, also from Mannheim, helping out with the AI research day and organizing it. Right, they are also building AI agents for systems modeling. Right, other an area where we also have some knowledge in. Right, but it's not what we focus on. So thanks again to Mohammed for helping us last week with the whole organization about the day, right? And of course, we will have a third one, right? Maybe beginning next year, let's see, right? Maybe there will be some standard month that we go to, right? Maybe we do it once or twice a year, let's see, right? So we're still in the process of figuring out how many of those days do we actually need, right? But there will definitely be a third one. And this is more important for the rest of this year. We are hosting our industry roundtable in September this year. And so the AI research day is for researchers, for universities, maybe some consulting companies, if they are really on the leading edge of AI, right? And it makes sense that they also join us. And then we have want to have the industry roundtable. It's the first time we do this. We had our family and friends last year, but it was people that we already knew, right? And this time in September, we want to have an industry roundtable where we invite industry participants, so people working for actual industrial companies, right? Really, really practical. What is it that you do with industrial AI, and how can our digital thread platform help you build out the harness and add semantics to existing data, right? This is happening September 14th, I think, is what we scheduled. So definitely September, I guess September 14th. And if you guys out there want to join, right, as I said, prerequisite, you work for an industrial company, you're interested in industrial AI, shoot us an email, right?
And not only industrial AI, also digital thread, and
of course for me that goes together with the thing. Yeah but of course digital thread, and if you're in that domain, engineering, right, manufacturing, and want to digitalize your processes, then shoot us an email, right? Happy to invite you folks as well, and then have a discussion. You do a little lab demo again, a longer demo, actually, not just a little one, right? End-to-end. So this is what our platform is now capable of doing, right? And this is September. Right. And then last thing that I probably should mention is actually a question to you. of course, our regular business goes on, right? So this is just events, right? And we want, you know, to get some additional traction, right? There is a release happening in
August,
so 4 weeks to go,
mm-hmm.
end of August. Do you already want to spoil or something, or is it completely secret?
No, it's not completely secret. So, yeah, we worked on a lot of stuff, and we definitely see the extra workforce that we have now with our second Thomas, who is now able to really develop his own stuff. And maybe as one feature that will come, we can mention the branching and merging.
I did see that already. That looks really, really nice. Cool. And there's more to come. And my feeling is that with the AI increasing, also the capability in coding, and with the two Thomases, it's actually, if I look how fast we are moving, right, there's still a lot of stuff to be done, right? But we are moving so fast. It's really, really, you know, 10 years ago, I would not have imagined that.
Even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been possible in that speed we are having now.
Yeah.
But what we definitely also see, and this fits perfectly to the point you mentioned before, with the context, it's everything. Our code basis right now is already a big chunk of context for the LLM. Sure. So I, by myself, on the front end, but also the Thomases on the back end, are experiencing this, that, apart from the models that get better and better and more capable of reasoning and understanding things, I personally can really throw a chunk of whatever I want, this and that, and it works. And does not only just work because the models get better and better, but because we have a code basis where the LLM can look into and understands what we are doing and what we are up to. And this context is so much worth. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We do see that a lot. Yeah.
That speeds us up even more.
Yeah, of course. The markdown files that you usually provide, right?
The markdown files, but all the code the LLM looks into when it tries to figure out how to extend this functionality, how to add this new functionality. This is really amazing.
Yeah. Agree. So stay tuned for that release. And with that being said, this was already 30 episodes now, right? Hope you guys like what you hear. If you do that, leave us a comment, leave us a like, and talk to you the next time, probably 3 to 4 weeks from now, right? Somewhere in August. And now that I think of it, that will potentially be the podcast that we talk about the release.
Yeah, maybe. Or the next one.
Well, maybe this one or the next one. We will see. Okay, then. Thank you very much for tuning in, and bye-bye.
Bye.